Thank you for Judy. Thank you for her love for you. And thank you for her membership here. Father, we thank you for the gift that you put into her, and in particular, the word you've given her for today. Lord, we ask that your hand will rest on her as she delivers the word, that she will be speaking from your spirit, and that you will give us hearing ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. I've already told Fiona that the first line will reference that she spoke to us last week on shaking. And I've been listening to lots of messages about shaking, and I don't think the Lord's finished doing that. But one of the things that I was very interested in, the light that the Lord had given me this word a long time ago, the kernel of it, was that she said, fear can often be as a result of shaking, that we can accumulate it, perhaps sometimes not even be aware of it. And fear can be paralyzing. Right, so that's where we start. Now, in 1933, if some of you might remember, if not your own memory, but history-wise, President Roosevelt, in his inaugural address, made a very famous comment. Anybody remember it? The only thing to fear is fear itself. And at this time, he'd just been elected, and I was trying to get everybody going and trying to reestablish some kind of support and help people, because it was one of the most devastating periods of history after the New York Stock Exchange and the subsequent depression. And you can imagine how people were catapulted into all sorts of terrible situations. And fear, I imagine, was rife. Fear of the future, fear of unemployment, fear of starvation, uncertainty, poverty, all of those things, to name but a few. And as Roosevelt was trying to instill trust and hope and an attempt to the people to regain faith in themselves and the government for the future, what he failed to acknowledge was that without the help of the Holy Spirit, nothing could be lasting. According to some authorities, and I just realized this is such an enormous topic, and people have written books and books and books about it, but we can only scratch the surface, is that fear can be divided into rational, irrational, and primal fear. And the Bible talks about a reverential fear of God, where we have respect for him, love words like, where the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. There are many other similar references, as you're probably all aware, but that isn't the topic for today. I want to address fear, which we've all possibly experienced at some time or another, and perhaps we could say versions of it, not something that is paralyzing, but something that hints at it, an unease, a disquiet, something that disturbs the peace in one's soul. It's been suggested that fear is the oldest and the strongest emotion of mankind, and that fear of the unknown causes the greatest fear. If you just think about that. We could list many phobias like that. Fear of flying, fear of the dark, fear of height, fear of abandonment. But as we face the present, and it's our situation right here, and we can think further afield in Europe, as we face the challenging circumstances of today, many of the people, I think, would find that those of Roosevelt's period were not dissimilar. The plan might have helped ease the situation, but as believers, we know there is only one way to cope with fear, or anxiety, or panic, or whatever you want to call it. We are controlled daily by social media showing people expressing fear of the unknown, fear of the known, loss of work, family, loss of health, loss of possessions, and affecting most of us here now, the cost of petrol, electricity, water, food. Where are we going to get the money from? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I thought, how am I going to pay that? And I'm sure that's crossed many people's minds. These are very real fears that many of us could face. But the trouble with succumbing to fear is that it cripples our thinking. It can become all-consuming and perhaps result in irrational behavior. Somebody said that there are 365 verses in the Bible which say, do not fear. And so this man said, one for each day. So it's an emotion, I think, that we confront quite regularly. Now, depending on the situation, there are many opposites. So when we could say, confronted by fear, I'm not going to allow this to take hold of my thinking. Or we could say, I'm going to trust God in this. Or I have confidence in him. Or we will have faith. Or we will appropriate the peace of God. We can have all sorts of things as we use as an antidote. And we've got so many examples, it's quite difficult to choose, in the Bible, which will encourage us as to how people in the past, or people even that we know at present, how they have coped with fearful situations, which should be an encouragement for us. In Exodus 3, we have Moses, who was challenged by God to go back into Egypt. Now, that must have been terrific, to go back to where you've committed murder and have things changed, have the laws changed, how am I going to cope? But God promised him that he would support him throughout the journey. In Esther chapter 4, we have the story of how she, as the queen, risked her life by persuading her husband, the king, to protect her people instead of allowing the man Haman to annihilate the Jews. The story of Daniel's courage, praying three times a day, despite the law that had been passed, not allowing this. His desire to honor God overpowered any fear he might have had of the people seeing him or the consequences of his actions. And then we leap to Peter in the New Testament. He showed his fear several times in his denial of Jesus, having fear of being treated like Jesus. Have we ever stopped to think of how challenging it must have been to be a disciple at the time of his arrest? How close would we stand to him? Would we watch from afar? But Peter was graciously restored after the resurrection and became a man of strong faith and conviction, which resulted in his imprisonment and eventually his death. In Acts 7, we read that when the apostles elected seven deacons, Stephen was chosen because he was known as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He preached fearlessly and as a result lost his life and is recorded as the first Christian martyr. Fear had certainly played little part in that time of his life. And then we can think of Paul, his courage, and all the things that he went through for the gospel, and his subsequent death. His words in Philippians remain ever pertinent to us today. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And that verse, as those of you who've been to my flat will have seen, stuck on a wall on the door as you come in, big bright letters. And that saw me through the COVID period. Was every time I was tempted to have that kind of feeling in my stomach. No, there we are, be anxious for nothing. And I had to talk myself into that situation. When I was a teenager, I used to go to the Methodist Church and the minister there used to encourage us to take Bible verses. And he said he used to put them in his little pocket and he'd take them with him every day and he wouldn't replace it with another one until he knew that one off by heart, but then to apply it, that it wasn't just words, that it was actually revelation to him. And then as a 16-year-old, I had written down Psalm 56, verse 3, which you probably know. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I can't tell you how many times that verse I've had to hold on to with both hands. I've had a very, and I thought this might be relevant to share my couple of my own experiences. I had a very challenging marriage, and on one occasion my husband was so angry, he was busy in the kitchen washing up and he was holding a knife. And the way things were going, I thought, I've got to get out of here. So I managed to sneak out, quietly shut the door, grab my kids and run to a neighbour down the way. And I was petrified about going back into the house for fear of what I might find. But back came the verse, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I turned to God and I asked him for protection and wisdom as to how to cope with the situation. Most of you know that I come from South Africa, and living in the second half of the 20th century was quite a challenge, particularly in the 1980s. There were bombs going off at different places indiscriminately. There were all sorts of other terrible atrocities by the so-called terrorists who were called freedom fighters. And so fear gripped the hearts and minds of many people, and you thought twice about where you went at any stage, and you never went out at night, etc., etc. Of course, that was a very terrifying period of history. On a different note, one night I was going down to a shop and came out having bought some milk, and a young man came running up to me. It was quite dark, and he grabbed my door and my handbag as I was about to get into the car. And my immediate response was, in Jesus' name, let go. And as I was repeating it for the second time, he shoved his hand into my mouth. But as quickly as he did that, he suddenly just took off and down the road. And I believe there was angelic intervention. It was so sudden. He didn't try to fight, didn't try to pull it. And I mean, he could have pulled it away from me. But that was an experience, of course, which I needed much prayer afterwards, because I was very conscious of people around me feeling very uneasy at having had that experience. And then a more recent thing happened 6 years ago when my granddaughter was taken to hospital and diagnosed with a brain tumor, and fear threatened to consume my life. But back to the scripture verses. The Lord gave me one in Deuteronomy 33. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And honestly, as I went about for those 6 weeks, I actually felt as if I was being carried about. And then also another one in Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So there was no option. And every time I felt this, is she going to be okay? Is it? And I mean, it was a miracle that she emerged as she did when she did. But again, it was the word of the Lord that inside me helped me to cope with that. And on reflection, my experience has taught me that we can't be critical of people who have fear or anxiety or panic, because I think quite often fear comes from traumas that we know nothing about, and it's very easy to judge other people and say, oh, you should, but as a Christian, you. And there's no room for that. For me, it is coming alongside them, and we pray effective prayers with them. We cast out fear in Jesus' name. And Paul, as you know, the verse in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. And the enemy loves to use fear and an aspect of it to try and keep us from doing the things that he wants us to do. In 1 Peter 5:8, we read, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So that the instant, I believe, as we feel that slight little niggle of anxiety, Lord, here we are, you take this, please. And then he goes on to warn about the devil stalking around like a lion, seeking to devour. And that's the very thing that fear can do. fear can devour us, and we need to dispel it with battle tactics. And we have to go to Ephesians there to put on the armor of God. In fact, not even allow it to rest. On occasions when I used to chat to people, I'd say, put up the plate. So you've got a breastplate here. As the thing comes, let it bounce off. Don't let it take root. Don't let it take hold. And the enemy wants to render us weak and keep us from doing what we should be doing. And very often, I think, we're tempted to think when we go into a situation of meeting new people, we are more interested in what people think about us rather than doing what we know God has sent us to do and risk offending. We prefer to have a better view of ourselves. If we look at a couple of verses in Psalm 27, which ironically used to be a song I sang at one stage, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If we really believe that, why are we not stepping into that? I'm not saying we don't, but why do we sometimes allow that fear to come overcome us? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, make that reality. This is a David expressing this very strong confidence in God, regardless of the situation, and he got into many scrapes, as we know. In the Passion Translation, this reads as, the Lord is my revelation light to guide me along the way. He's the source of my salvation to defend me every day. He expresses his thankfulness that God is his source of joy, his life, his deliverer, and his protector. His light illuminates the way ahead, exposes the darkness, bringing understanding, revelation, and discernment. His strength empowers, strengthens us, encourages us. It equips us as we step into each new day. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. And in the world we're living now, anything can happen. I think we've come to realize that. The change can happen very quickly. But it's a conscious decision we need to make at the beginning of each day to submit ourselves wholeheartedly to him, so we can say, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? With conviction, not just words. The final scripture which I want to read is Psalm 121, which you, most of you probably know by heart, one of the songs of ascent, one of the 15, where, and again, it's according to different interpreters, it was sung by people going to Jerusalem to the temple, or it was people as they were going up the steps of the temple, but it was expressing that confidence in God. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Presumably those were the ones of Jerusalem that were close by, so they knew they were near. From whence comes my help? Not from the hills. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. To me, that's such a dramatic thing, because he's the creator. There's nothing greater than him. So that's where we trust. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He'll keep us firm. He who keeps you will not slumber. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. He's on a 24-hour watch. Day and night, night and day, he's never asleep. So as we step into every situation, as we step into tomorrow, and the day after, he is there, he's before us. He's watching over everything as we commit ourselves to him. The Lord is our keeper, our preserver. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Of course, that would appeal to somebody who perhaps at that time was walking in the desert. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He won't take us out of the circumstances. He won't say you're going to live an extraordinary life where you won't ever encounter difficulties, but he helps us through the circumstances. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So forevermore he is there, night and day, never sleeping. So what have we to fear? His power sustains us. He will keep us standing firm so we can face the future without trepidation. But as we trust him, he will lead us step by step as we use the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. And I just want to end with a prayer that I came across. And I think it's very pertinent and very relevant, and you can identify with whichever bit you want to. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you that you are on the throne and that you have a plan for the earth. I cry out to you that you would invest in the necessary shaking that my life needs. I ask that you do this so that I might be more in your image and made ready to steward greater glory. Shake out of me all that I need to lose. I repent of putting my faith in things other than you. Take away my idolatries and forgive my sins. I speak over my own heart the words of Jesus Christ. Do not be alarmed. And I say to you, God, I trust you fully to look after me. Thank you that you have never let me down before and that I'm on a sure footing with you. I trust you, God, with my future. I trust you, God, with my health. I trust you, God, with my finances. I trust you, God, as the restorer of my relationships. I trust you, God, and the plans you have for my life. Father, I lay down my preservation mindset and I pick up a discovery mindset. I lay down the paralysis of fear and I pick up an adventuring ability. In Jesus' name, amen.